Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time. All these guys here, it's a miracle in the making right here, just moseying in here and hanging out and being with you, Father. So thank you so much. Bless our hearts. Talk to us. Guide us by the Holy Spirit. And work us. How about that? We like to get worked as guys. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good seeing everybody. Johnny's sick. And this is being taped live, so I got to be careful here, okay? Yeah, because I've been known to spit out some crazy sometimes, you know. So he got I guess food poisoning. So I told him, I said, well, just you know, drink some aloe, you know, take it easy today, and I guess he'll be teaching tomorrow for Robert. So it's kind of like a double whammy, but here we are. You guys did watch the Super Bowl? I didn't watch none of it. I did watch the halftime show, the Turning Point USA halftime show, which, you know, some of those songs were kind of crazy too. But I tell you what, it sure beats the alternative of what was out there for the public. It's just amazing, isn't it? The stuff that gets thrown at us. And like, we're just supposed to stand there and go, okay, that's good, you know? But we as men, like tonight, we're going to be talking standing firm, literally standing firm. You're not just going to buy everything that you see and hear. And Paul is really good about that. Okay. So tonight we're in Galatians and chapter 2. Last week, I wasn't here, Johnny taught before he was sick. But Paul was talking about how he's amazed how people were bailing on the gospel. They, you know, you got the Judaizers coming in, which are the pretty much Pharisees that are like on steroids, and they're going in a different direction. And they're like, you know, Jesus is cool, but you need more. Like, you got to be a Jew first. You got to come this way, and you got to be circumcised. You got to go through all this stuff. So, and then they're spreading all these fires, and they're fake, false teachers. They're fakes, everything about them. And Paul, who was used to this, people coming behind him saying, you know what, just dogging Paul and just dogging the word and all that. And Jesus, he went through the same thing. The same thing. You had these Pharisees. We have the same thing these days. It's kind of sin. So, and he's like, and you're going for another gospel. I can't believe it. You know, and he tells him, says, you know what? You guys, if anyone, us or an angel, would give you another gospel other than the one that we preach, let him be eternally condemned. He told him this. And then he goes, let me make it really clear. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to say it again. If anyone, us or an angel, must be a bad angel, brought you another gospel, but let him be eternally condemned. That's boldness. I like the boldness in leaders. And he got, and we're going to read here, he got right in this guy's face, and this guy is called Peter. You know, no one's exempt to this stuff. In fact, you know what? If you go into the last, what's amazing is you go into the last, like, four lines of the Bible, and it's in Revelation, and God's like, John, we're going to save the best for last here. And he tells him, says, if you add anything to the book, I'm going to add to your plagues. And if you take away anything, I will remove any of these blessings in your life. And that's the way it is. That's the way I like Paul, God, the same way. He's like, you know what? Let me make this real clear. And he does. And he's not pulling any punches here. So he's like, you know what? So he's defending the gospel. Guys, remember in high school, simple math. You know, you got, you know, and I'm going to say it for everybody here, but I always kind of enjoyed math, you know, but in algebra, you get the simple basics down. And, you know, what you do to one side, you got to do the other. Okay. And then in geometry, you know, you got your algorithms, you got all the stuff. And you get these basics down. And then it dawns on you, like, you know what? I can do this. I can actually stretch this out, and you start, and you can build off of it. We have a gospel that there is no other word. That's the foundation. We're supposed to be on solid ground, solid footing in our lives. And this is the basis of it right here. And this is what Paul was telling them. We don't need anything else. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. That's it. It's as simple as that. And these guys, they want to turn this thing into like, well, you know, and you've heard me say this before, it's kind of like Hamburger Helper. You know what I mean? Like, well, okay, we're going to take Jesus, but we're going to, remember the Hamburger Helper? You get the hamburger and then you throw in this stuff because it kind of stretches it out. You know what I mean? And it gives it this extra taste. And then when you're eating this stuff, you're like, this stuff is kind of crunchy. Like, what is this stuff? You know what I mean? Like, who cares? Just eat it. It goes farther and it's got a little bit more taste to it. We don't need a Hamburger Helper faith. All we need is Jesus. There's nothing like a nice thick burger on the grill, and I don't need nothing else. I don't even like cheese on my hamburger. I just want that. So Paul is defending the gospel. And what is the gospel? That was a question last week. What is the gospel to you? And you know, you're going to get different takes on it, but the living, breathing word of God proclaiming Christ into our hearts, and then we give out to, just like Patrick was saying, how do we do this week as far as giving it out? It's kind of like the same love in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It talks about the same love that God puts in our hearts is the same love that we should be just shoveling out or letting it pour out into other lives. And then you know what God does? He keeps popping more in there, and we just keep throwing it out there. And you know the beautiful thing about it is it's not done eloquently sometimes, and it's not done in perfection, because he picked 12 ordinary dudes, and Peter was one of them. We're going to be talking about him tonight. And Paul, who was, you know, and then on top of that, they're following Paul around, and they're like, oh, let's see some credentials here. Like, you know, who do you think he is? He's like, are you kidding? I was the Pharisee of Pharisees, circumcised on so many days, and you know what? I was way ahead of everybody. I was the eloquent Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. He goes, credentials? Are you serious? We don't need credentials. We've been appointed and we have been anointed by Jesus Christ. This is why we're sitting here right now. Here's the training ground. You look around, you're like, we're in trouble. You know, I don't know. This is training ground right here. This is where God moves. You know why? Because we believe that this is the living word of God right here. We could pick it up anytime. You might do it tonight when you get home. So you know what? They want to see credentials. He's like, I don't answer to any man. I could sit who I want with in the lunchroom. You don't have to tell me who to sit next to. I don't need some dude telling me what to do. He's been appointed by Christ. And then what happens after he gets, remember the road to Damascus? Remember he was saved? What happened? Immediately, 3 years into Arabia, out in the desert. We're lucky, you're thinking, well, I can relate to this, living in Tucson, you know what I mean? 3 years. We're always in training. 3 years. And then pretty soon here in a second, we're going to say in 14 years later, you're like, man, like this timing thing with God is amazing. Just amazing. Like, 3 years in training. Before God's going to put you into a big ministry, He's going to season you up. It's kind of like when you saute meat or chicken or something. You know what I mean? When you cook it on the grill, it tastes good. But saute that thing and it tastes great. God prepped him up. It took time. A lot of people will come into church and they get fired up. You know, they're like, man, I want to start doing some stuff. Hang on, man. Hang on. Let God start working you. Let him start seasoning you up. Let him talk to you, having a one-on-one. And you know the cool thing about it? We're talking some of the bigs here. We're talking Paul. He wrote 2/3 of this book. I mean, the whole New Testament. Peter, all these guys, these are the bigs. It took time. Pete's like denying everybody, causing all kind of riff, chopping off ears and doing things and all that. And this is one of the bigs. You know, you look at these guys, this is what God, he's probably, you know, before time began, he knew everything. He breathed everything into existence. And he's thinking about, you know what? My children are going to read this and go, there's hope in my life through Christ, because these guys were something else. But yet, him, you, and I, We stand firm for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We stand firm in that word. Back then they had bulls and goats, and they would do the yearly going to the temple, and that just covered over the sins. But the blood of Jesus cleans us up on the inside. That's where we've been cleansed. Remember, you guys, it says in Romans 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and He died for your sins, all who call upon Him will be saved. Piece of cake. So that's where we're at. And if that's you, that's a modern miracle right there, guys. So Paul, and this is where it starts. Chapter 2, Galatians 2. I'm gonna blast through this, and I'm going to make some points and all that, and then you guys are going to break off into your groups and I'm gonna talk about this and all, but so I'll do my best to kind of highlight certain things. I'm one of those kind of guys that you might be the same way, you might not be, but I like to put myself, when I read the Bible, I like to put myself there like, what would I be doing here? And what would I be thinking, you know? And I kind of like the fly on the wall type thing, you know? But standing there, Paul was just, you know, Paul was not the kind of guy, when you get the description of how he looked, like he wasn't like one of these like shampoo commercial kind of guys. You know what I mean? Where people are like, wow, he's really something else. You know what I mean? From the basic and from just the descriptions of him, he was not much to look at. Which is amazing because that's exactly what it says in the Bible about Jesus. There was nothing that attracted people to him externally. You know? You know, I mean, if you and I, you know, but I'm thinking, well, I mean, I'd like to be somewhat good looking or something, you know what I mean? But there was nothing. Nothing. I'm like, man, nothing. That's amazing when you think about it. Paul was that way. So this is the guy we're going to be dealing with here. So 14 years later, I went up to Jerusalem. This is Paul talking. He goes, I went to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. And I took Titus along also. Barnabas, I like that name. Barnabas. You know what Barnabas was? He was an encourager. Now, you take a guy like Paul, who was a just lightning rod for wild times, just a hot rod. He got in people's face and all that. Who's the first person God brought into his life to work with him? Barnabas. It's good to have an encourager in your life. It really is. And this guy needed it. And he took Barnabas along and he took Titus, who was a Greek, okay? So they go up to Jerusalem, and I went in response to a revelation set before them, the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. So he had been listening to God. That's what a revelation is. God talking to you? Just a simple statement. I always ask guys, I'm like, you know what? When's the last time you asked the Holy Spirit to just touch you? And to talk to you. You know what I mean? You ever get that feeling? You have. You know, when you're going along one day and all of a sudden you get like these goosebumps where you get this chill come upon you and you're like, you know what? And immediately, you have no idea. You have no doubt what just happened. That God has just, His presence has just come upon you and you're like, thank you, Lord. Your response is probably about the same as mine. Like, God, thanks. I needed that. I needed that alone. So God's talking to him. The man moves, and God puts us in a mighty direction sometimes. Sometimes we're like, you know what? I have no idea why I'm going this way, but I have peace and I have comfort about this. So I'm just going to move because God's usually going to take his boys in directions a lot of times where we need to go and maybe say something to somebody, encourage somebody something. Be a Barnabas out there, or just help someone along, or do something. We don't know why, and we don't think of these things early in the morning, but God does. He guides us along. So Paul goes, he takes the men with him, and he says, but I did this privately to those who seem to be leaders. Here we go. So he's starting to dive into them. He's going back to the Jerusalem council, okay? And he says, seem to be leaders. A lot of times, you can't quite pick out You know what I mean? I've always said this, that the best leaders are the one, you can't really figure out who's who. You know, they're leading, you know, but you can't look at them and go, now that's a leader. You know, look at that suit, man. Look at the truck the guy drives, man. It's awesome. I know where he lives. This dude's got to be a leader. No, God, remember, he's working from the inside out. So he goes to these guys, and back then, these Pharisees, it was a show. Every time they went anywhere, they had all the stuff on. They had all the nice suits, and the people are like in awe. They're in awe of these dudes. And he's like, I took these guys on. I went to the supposed leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. So he went to them. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. So he takes Barnabas, who's a Jew, and he takes a Gentile with him. And you know what? Titus is like, I don't even compelled to be circumcised. You don't need to be circumcised to come to Christ to be a Christian, okay? And so he's bringing this purposeful thing along, and he's taking it right up to the bigs. He goes, I want to verify everything here. And he deals with the leadership, and he's making sure, I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Because this was the early Christian, and there was a lot of questions. So God's using this man Paul for just to go right in there and set the tone real fast, just like he did last week. Like, I'm going to tell you how it is. So this matter arose because some false brothers, now that's a bad one, false brothers. Now there's one thing that you don't want to be accused of is a false brother. Another one would be like a hypocrite, you know? How'd you like to hear that? What a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. And we're going to be hearing about here as far as with Peter, what he does in front of all these guys. Your phones, turn them off. I do this all the time. If you guys ain't got nothing going on Sunday nights, we got a Bible study on the coffee shop area every 6:30 to 8. Anyway, I didn't come here to say that. I just, you know, but I did. Because some of the false brothers had infiltrated, you know, that little bit of yeast can go through the whole batch of dough, you got to be careful. You get people out there, they'll say these simple little things. Oh, yeah, Jesus, you know, but let's hear the whole story. You know, the whole story. And these guys are like, well, you know what, look at. And Paul, this is why Paul's here. He's picking up on it. Like, they're spreading false, you know, nowadays you say false information. We've heard enough of that crud. But he's like, you know what? They've infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ. And we have freedom in Christ. When you read Colossians, it tells you that don't let no one steal your joy that you have in Christ. You don't have to join a book club. You don't have to be in a clique. You don't have to have any of these big credentials and all that. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ, and you have freedom in Christ. These guys are going by man-made rules, these Pharisees. They're making up this stuff. They had 600 and some rules. It was unbelievable, you know? I mean, they got to have a whole team. They all had the look and all that. And they're coming in there, and they're spreading all this stuff. And it says, we have the freedom we have in Christ, and to make us slaves again. You know, isn't that cool? The little thing that we got said, we're sons, not slaves, as far as the motto, you know, of the, you know, for the flyer, for the men's study. We are not slaves. We have freedom in Christ. We did not give in to them for a moment. That's what you call standing firm for God's word. Nowadays, you got to do that more than ever. You really do. And you also have to know God's word a little bit, because you have to know what the fake stuff is. You know, my mom used to be a teller years ago. She said, you know what, they would in a bank, and they'd slip in the counterfeit money, and this way they get to know the feel of it. You got it, you know what I mean? You got to know your money, and then they slip that stuff in, you're like, fake, fake, fake. You got to know the truth before you know the fake stuff. All right? And so Paul is telling them, listen, we have this freedom in Christ, and these guys are trying to come on in here. And he goes, we didn't believe it for a minute. Not for a minute. And let's see, where am I at here? And as for those who seem to be important, we're back to the fakes again. They seem to be important. Sometimes you can't quite tell, but you can hear and how much Jesus is on their breath. He says, you know what? Whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with nothing. Entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. So he's like, look, he's teaching. Paul went to, and he would have been the perfect one to go to the Jews, since he was a Pharisee. Pharisees, like, there's your man right there. Right there. And I'm like, but God's like, nope. We're looking that way. And God's like, no, we're going that way. But this is what I do. This is what I'm really good at. God's like, I know, but we're going to go this way because you know what? This is what I want. Many times the Lord is going to steer you along and put you into territory. Sometimes you're like, man, this is like, I'm way, way out of my comfort zone here. Way out. You know? And he'll take you right down that road. And you're like, Lord, I'm going to need some help here. In fact, I'm going to need a lot of help. You ever done children's ministry? Man, I went in there one time and I was teaching the little ones, you know, and I'm like, whew, well, I'm not real good at this one, you know what I mean? And it's kind of tough. You get the kid, and I have kids, you know, and my kids were respectful, but they were wild, you know, and I'm like, whew, boy, I needed help. And it turned out really good, you know. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, the kids are clinging on to you, you know. And, you know, you're doing whatever you can for life, actually, with the small ones and all. But sometimes God will put you into uncharted waters. Remember when he told the disciples, let's go fishing, guys. And they're like, really? Really, Jesus? Really? We're fishermen, and we've been fishing all night. And, you know, and he goes, come on, let's go. Let's go deep. I'm going to take you deep. And they did. They threw that net out. What happened? Record catch. First time the net never broke. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Yeah. God's going to take these places. And this is what he's doing here. And he's getting with these men. For God, it says in 8, for God who was at work in the ministry of Peter was as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work at Paul through the Gentiles. So he addressed the Jewish council, and he, which was James, he was the first pastor, which is Jesus's brother. Isn't that amazing? You know what's amazing about that too? Is when you pick up the book of James, how does he start it off? A servant of Jesus Christ. You're like, that's your brother, man. You can start that out a little better than that, a little deeper. Like, this is my brother, man. We spent a lot of good times together and all that. A servant of Jesus Christ. What a title. What a title, huh? My name is Jim. Just Jim. But I'm a servant of Christ. I just do whatever. What a cool feeling, isn't that? You're like, man, I can be effective for the Lord, and I don't need any credentials at all, except that I serve Jesus Christ. He's like, and I'll take it from here. You let him do the dirty work. It's almost like he chews it up and said, now all you got to do is swallow, Jim. That's all you got to do. You got to do the easy stuff. And we just follow his lead. So he meets with the council, and they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles. So they all agreed on that. And they said, but there's one thing. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor and the very thing that I was eager to do. That's what they told him. Said, okay, you go to the Gentiles, and Peter is going to stay here, and he's going to do the Jews. But one thing you want to do, you want to take care of the poor. You know what it says in the book of James? True religion is that we take care of the widows and the orphans and don't get polluted by the world. You know, that's the one where you ever kick dirt like in the wind and you're kind of wet, you know, and just kind of sticks to you and all that. That's what happens. And you think, well, what's taking care of the widows and the orphans is cool, but what's that got to do with not getting polluted by the world? Well, if you go getting polluted by the world and you start doing those worldly ways, you're going to forget all about taking care of the widows and take care of the orphans. That's all there is to it. So we got to keep ourselves clean. Paul is really spreading it out really good here for him. And then he says, you know what? No problemo. I'll take care of that. And this is what we should be doing. Having that need. And man, is that my time? 6:43? Yes. Wow. Okay. So a point here is to the importance of unity in the church, the importance of working together in the church, co-laboring. The best thing you want to have is unity when you're working together in ministries, no matter what ministry it is. When you start having fighting and factions and all that, that ain't good. That's not good. You want to take care of these things? So Paul opposes Peter. I want to go through this here real quick. And it says, when Peter came to Antioch, it goes, Paul said, I opposed him. You're looking, hang on, man. To his face. So he gets in Peter's face, Paul does, because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. So he's saying, hang on, you used to eat with the Gentiles, okay? And then after this other gang shows up, then you want to go eat with these guys because you don't like these guys no more, okay? And they're like, hang on, this is crazy. Peter, you should stand firm in this. So what happened was, is he began to draw back and he separated himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group, which is the Jews. And he's like, hang on, man. You know, so he dealt with these guys and the other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy. So Peter's being hypocritical about this. And he called them out. He called them out. He says, you know what? You're wrong for what you're doing here. You're wrong. And he did it in front of everybody. How many times I have been, people have said, they'll come up and say, you know what? Listen, man, what do I do? I got a problem with someone. They're doing something that I just don't like it, you know, and I just, you know, a lot of people don't like confrontation. They don't want to go rocking the boat. They don't want to make people feel bad and all that. You know what Paul wrote? He wrote 1 Corinthians. You ever read like chapters 5 and 6 and 7? It's called division in the church, okay? And what does it say? If there's a brother that's bothering you, what do? Go and talk to him. Go and talk to him. What training ground? We should be doing this in our lives anyway. If there's something, go and talk to him. And if that doesn't work and there's a real problem, take a witness with you. Take another brother. You know what I mean? But you want to win these things over Christ and you want to stop the division in a church. This is what Paul's doing. He went right into Peter's face. You know, Peter's a big guy. Paul's just some small guy. And he's like, look, what you're doing is wrong. You're playing sides here and this is wrong. I like that. Calling out in a good way, because you know what it's doing? It's preventing a split of a church. People have splits. You've heard of this, where churches split over one guy doing something. You're like, you know what? Things were never dealt with. This should be a good quality for even in our own lives, in our marriages maybe. Deal with things. Communication. I think that's probably one of the biggest things right there. In church, you know, communicate. Talk to people. So Paul, he does. He gets right in there and he calls the other Jews, join him in his hypocrisy. So that there's hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. I'm like, hang on, man. Barnabas was led astray? That's crazy. See, this is what happens. If you don't deal with these things, you stand firm in your faith, there can be bad consequences. People watching this are like, you know what? This is Christianity? Are you serious? This? Good leaders will pick things up. And they'll deal with things and whatever God leads them to do. Read on here real quick. We're almost done. And when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, in front of them all, you're a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? So he's really calling them out here, and we are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. And so he goes on, so we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. We don't walk in the law. We our faith in Christ. We have been saved by grace and through faith in Jesus. God has given us grace. Grace is something that's not deserved, but yet God came along in our lives and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any one of you who opened that door, I'm going to come on in. And what a beautiful thought that has been and how it worked out in our life. The way that we walk and our approach to things can have an effect on other people's lives, just like Barnabas right there. Just like counsel, when people give counsel. You will be held accountable for the counsel that you give. So you need to be really taking it to the Lord and asking him for guidance on all this stuff. This is very serious, and it affected many lives. A big point here has been the importance of the unity, and we talked about that, and also the fear of others' opinions. We don't want to make people feel bad. We learn that what we say can be like a wildfire sometimes. You know, it talks about it in the book of James where it just torches the hillside and all that. But at the same time, too, God gives us that eloquence that we have to stand firm on our values, on what's right in the gospel. So, with that, in 15, I've been crucified with Christ in 20, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. We have been crucified with Christ. We don't wish to die. We've been risen through the resurrection. That's our life, has been lifted up through what Christ did in our lives. This is who we represent. Jesus, nowadays, if you really want to start some fights or whatever, you really want to rock the boat, bring up the name of Jesus. Nowadays, it's unbelievable. The gospel is under attack so bad, so bad. Just the name of Jesus says in the Bible too, the demons cringe and they run and they, you know, and we see this openly with people that we know, people that meet. The other day we did a move. Some of the guys are here too. We did a move and it's amazing. There was kind of like a real conflict there. We're helping some people out and it was just a sticky situation. So tell you what, let's pray. A lot of times all you gotta do is say, let's pray. Ooh boy. Man, did that throw a curveball in there real bad on somebody? And you could just see the tension and just everything just coming out, and they just couldn't take it. It was just absolutely amazing to watch this. And we see this sometimes, but the name of Jesus, we stand firm for the Word of God. We stand firm on who, you know, in the absent the bodies in the presence of the Lord, you're gonna stand in front of Christ one day. It says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. That means everybody. The ones that made it and the ones that didn't, they're still gonna know that Jesus is Lord. You know what I mean? It won't make any difference. So we're just standing firm right now. So our faith is in Christ and Christ alone. Paul talked about it. Our gospel is the only gospel, the only one The only reason why the other gospels are there is because they feed off of the gospel. You know, the Mormon gospel, you're like, well, this sounds like ours until they get to the juicy parts. Like Jesus, they just start plucking that out and they start throwing stuff in. I'm like, well, this is just, you take this info as much as you can, and then you feed off of it. Everything feeds off of Christianity. Everything. We have a living, breathing word that we put our faith in, just like Paul said, that the Lord makes these internal changes. Back in the law, there's like, oh no, you got to have more. Well, the blood of bulls and goats only covered. It was, for them, once a year. We can go to the throne every 5 minutes. I don't need some dude sitting in a confessional. I don't need traditions. Just like these people. Well, I don't need clicks. Can you imagine getting up to heaven and all of a sudden you're like, are you kidding? It's the same thing. These crazy people, they're here. Same stuff. You ever go to a class reunion? I remember years ago, I went to like the 20th or 25th reunion, whatever it is. I go and it's like, I couldn't believe it. It was the same chicks doing the same stuff, sitting in the same circle, and dudes too. I'm thinking, this is crazy. You would think after all this time that things would change a little bit, you know what I mean? We ain't dragging nothing up to heaven. Nothing. Somebody's paying for these sins. Either you do it right and you get it just right, which you ain't gonna get it right, or you let Jesus take care of that, right? So you know what? Paul, he was adamant about it. He stood firm about his faith in Christ. I'm hitting these PowerPoints. And yet, we don't have a license to sin because we have freedom in Christ. We don't just go out there and just wing it. Like, I'm a Christian. Jesus is going to cover me. And he's going to take care of me. I can do whatever I want. On the way home, I'm going to rob the 7-Eleven and I'll get over it. No, we don't do that. We live as Christ did. We live as Jesus did. And he's our true example. Paul, he dealt with these issues. He was bold about it. Christ will give you the boldness that you need when you do. Men, are you praying with your wives? Okay? I like to throw these little nuggets in once in a while. I ask myself that same thing. Am I praying with my wife enough? Am I being that good example out there? Are you standing firm for the gospel? Are you sharing in a way that that people can see that you live your life following Christ? You don't just talk about Him. We're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. We all need this. We all sit here humbly before the Lord right now. And I think my time is up. What an example he was. What an example he was. He took so many beatings, shipwrecked, bitten by snakes. Remember when he got hit with the snake on the island, and everybody's like, uh-oh, this is going to be a real quick one, and nothing happened, but God took him on a wild journey. In fact, Galatians was that was like his first book. This is after he came back from that ministry after 15 years. He went into Galatia, that territory, and he wrote this right here. This is one of his first ones right here. And after this is when he started writing Corinthians and all that. And he started talking about, I got to teach these people how to deal with things, how to deal with people coming behind me like they're going to do to you and say, yeah, Jesus is cool, but you know what? There's other stuff out there. There's nothing else. There's nothing else out there. In a troubled world, going back to the halftime show, I didn't watch it, but on the news, they were showing some of the stuff. I'm like, this is insane, And it's like, anything's a go these days. Look, we all have the same common denominator in our lives, and that's Christ. Christ is the same common denominator. Each of us have our own unique problems, different things. We live in different places and all that. But Jesus, Christ is all, and He is in all. It's all we need, guys, that we would stand firm for that gospel. I just say this because you guys do already. It's not like you don't, but it's just, you know, like Peter said, he goes, it is good to refresh yourselves. Like, well, you know, it's like homework. You know, we do this. In the military, we used to have this training. You know, you just keep going through the same thing. It's just muscle memory. After a while, you just do it. Right there. We're not in a club. We're of Christ. And we're all together. I guess I hit all the... And we also... that we die to ourselves. We don't wish death, but we want that glory as we walk with Christ. And people are watching. People are watching our lives as we stand firm for the Lord. And consistency is big too, that we don't just, you know, we're not just some flash in the pan, a one-hit wonder. We're staying the course. We're fighting the good fight. These are all statements that Paul wrote. Just about all of them. Continue fighting the fight. You bring that up with people like, whoa, hang on, man. I'm new to this stuff. And you're telling me I got to keep fighting all this stuff? Like, yeah, that's what it is. Because Satan does not like, he's a punk, man. He doesn't like the fact that you're growing in Christ. You're growing in Christ. Guess what? Wives love to watch their husbands grow in Christ. Parents like to watch their kids grow in Christ. We like to watch our parents grow in Christ. Doesn't make any difference. We grow. Some people, thief on the cross, that dude was cutting it close. You know what I mean? I mean, you could smell this guy cooking. You know, he's right there. And then the other dude, man, he just keeps spitting this stuff out. And that's how our society is. It's like, do you not see what I see? You know, the one thief, they were both bad thieves. They didn't just accidentally chuck some nice thief up on the cross, you know, good thief and a bad thief. No, he changes his life right there watching this. And he didn't get baptized. He wasn't in any kind of clubs. He wasn't in any ministries. Nothing. Christ changed his life. He says, today, he goes, don't forget about me. He goes, you'll be with me today in paradise. They're going. That's amazing. And yet the other dude, he sees the same stuff. Nope. Ain't going to buy that. I don't need that. You would think. And people, and it says, to share, like in the book of James talks too, it says that if you literally can change the hearts and save people literally from the gates of hell, you think about that, standing firm for Christ. Literally, you can save people from the gates of hell, not by anything that we do, but by what Christ does. All we do is sometimes just kind of hold people by the hand and say, you know what? This is why, simply just because of Christ. And that's all Paul did, and yet he stood firm for Christ, and he dealt with things as they came. We don't wish these things up in the morning. I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling good this morning, and I'm going to get in somebody's face. You know what I mean? That's not the way it is. We just get up, and we say, Lord, good morning, or however you do it. You have your coffee with God. Whatever you do, get up, say, Lord, let's go. Or however it is. And he's like, you got it. And we're going to do it. So you keep that sail up, just like it says in there. And God will blow you along, like the Holy Spirit. Sometimes take you into areas like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is new. A little different. Stay grounded in the only gospel. Right here, guys. Stay grounded. And you'll have the words to say. The Lord will put them in your mouth. He did it with Moses. Moses, he stuttered, you know, and he had a hard time. God said, I'll take care of that. No problem. He brought in Aaron. Of course, Aaron was a big help. You know what I mean? But, you know, we're talking dudes. Dudes. But we ain't following some dude to heaven. Like these other ones. Remember, those other religions expect you to die for them. We have a Lord that already died for us. You know, like the old saying, like, for those that aren't going to heaven, this is the closest thing. For us, this is the closest thing to hell. But for those that are perishing, this is the closest thing to heaven that they'll ever get. It's just downhill. For us, we're going up, which is kind of cool. That's encouraging. We have work to do. You have marching orders is what it is. We have family members that you can share with, your family, whatever it is, friends, wherever you're at. People need to hear what has changed your life. Amen? All right, God, thank you for your word. It's powerful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts to the bone, the marrow, the spirit, the flesh. Lord, everything, Father. All we have to do is be in you. This is all we need. You put your word above your name, which is amazing. So God, thank you. Bless us here, Father. Guide us along in our lives. Wherever you want to take us, we're just obedient. Father God, and the Holy Spirit, just touch us. And you're a mighty God. You put all the stars up in the sky and the sun up there. Lord, surely you can take care of all these small things. And we worry a lot. So Father, help us through these times. And give us vision. Take us where to go and where not to go. So close these doors for us. Make it easy. And then open things up where we need to go, Father. I thank you for these guys. It's cool sitting up here. Once again, I pray for Johnny. He feels better for tomorrow night. Give him that ump he needs. And Lord, many others too. I want to pray for Casey, Justin, and Lori Justin. Going through a rough time right now, Father. You be with this man and this woman, please, God. And many others, Lord. Thank you for these guys. And thank you for what you've done in our life, Father. You've given us hope, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.